All right, here we go in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Today, I'd like to speak a word of hope over those who have lost something valuable in their lives. In Psalms chapter 51, verse 12, we have a song that King David wrote after the prophet Nathan exposed him. Nathan informed David that God knew all about his attempt to cover up his infidelity with Bathsheba. As a result, David lost his integrity, his influence, his top-ranking military man, but most strikingly, David mourns most about losing his joy. There are many things we can lose in this life, but there's nothing like losing our joy. In this verse, we see what David has lost. He now wants God to give him back. David asks God to restore him. According to the Webster's Dictionary, the word restoration means bringing back to a former position or condition. To bring something back to a former condition implies that something was lost, that the way things were are no longer the way things are. Finding our way back to our former condition can seem frightening and even hopeless. During David's time of loss, he never forgot where his joy came from. He says that God is the source of his joy, a joy that is found in God's salvation. We can sometimes forget the source of our joy. We can think our joy comes from others, from having a husband or a wife, from having a new job or a new car, or even from gaining more followers on our social media platform. But David wrote this psalm when he was materially and politically successful. Even with all of David's obvious success, something was still missing that he needed to be restored. It was the joy of God's salvation. David realized that no matter how successful he appeared to everyone outwardly, only God could renew him inwardly. When God points out David's sin, it can seem harsh, especially since his sin had become a national scandal. However, God's pointing carries with it an implicit promise. The implicit promise of God's desire to restore David's joy through his love. After the break, the promise helps us to see that the God who judges justly also restores rightly. You know, in Psalms chapter 51, verse 12, the Bible says that David wanted to be restored. He wanted his joy restored. He wanted God to give him that joy. I remember a few years ago, this idea of restoration was very apparent to me when I was driving home from work. And there was storm clouds arising, and I was wondering how bad this storm would be. Well, I didn't have to wait very long. About halfway in my journey, the storm clouds rolled in, the sky was pitch black, and hailstones began to shower and pelt my car. Now, these weren't any ordinary hailstones. These were hailstones the size of golf balls. And to be honest, I was really scared. Driving home, I was wondering if my car was going to make it or if the windows would be shattered by these huge hailstones that were now coming and descending onto my car. As soon as I got home, the first thing I wanted to do was see how bad was the damage on my car. So I rolled into the garage and came out of the car and just started to analyze and inspect my vehicle. Well, there wasn't a panel on my car that wasn't damaged by this severe hailstone. In fact, there was probably hundreds of little dents everywhere. I knew this may be expensive. I wanted to check if my insurance would cover it. Thankfully, they did. So the next day, I took it to the repair shop. At the repair shop, the man could see the condition of my car that met me there. And I wondered if my car would ever be the same. Was it beyond repair? And the person that was assisting me said, and looked me straight in the eye as he said this, he said, "We will make your car look as if it is brand new. We will restore your car." I just was taken back because I saw the damage. I thought it was beyond damage. I thought my car would be a write-off. But this man gave me hope, letting me know that my car could be back to its original condition. In fact, in Psalms, we see that David, as he declares his sin, David is declared not only restored, but later on, God says something really interesting. He says that this is a man after my own heart. A man after my own heart, God says. It's really interesting because David had sinned, and after his sin, he's declared something that was never declared before about him. This is what I want you to know, that restoration can bring you to a condition that was greater than your previous position. For my car, there was little scratches, there were little dents prior to the storm that hit me. However, even those little scratches and dents that were there were now fully restored and repaired. I was so happy because I got a car that was better than what I previously had. Everything was restored. There may be an area in your life that has gone through a storm, an area in your life that you feel is beyond repair, but God wants you to know that your life can be restored. And in fact, your current state that God wants to bring you through will be better than your previous condition. God can restore us fully. Is there an area in your life that you're saying, God, can you restore it? Are you experiencing fear, turmoil, anxiety because of a storm that has fell upon your life? And you're saying, God, can you fix it? Can you restore it? I just want you to know that the area of your life that you're crying out for is the Holy Spirit telling you God wants to heal you. He can restore what has been taken away in your life. Invite God to restore you, and He will give you the joy of His salvation.
From a big city, there's a big difference when you move to a small little town of less than 3,000 people. It was a big change for my brother and I, since we were just two little kids not knowing where we were going. The whole goal was for my mom to attend a college that she had to go for nursing, and things were going to change years later. But little did we know that 2 years later, she had an important mail that was sent to her. It was a divorce papers, which changed our life forever. Having this thinking and this thought that you had a perfect family or that your mom and dad were in love changed. And I thought to myself, if God loved us so much, why would He put the pain through my family? Why would He let me see that as a child? So growing up, I would ask myself, like, why? Why? Like, why would He do that to two little kids? So that thought was constantly in my mind that, you know, if God gave us a life, like, why would He take that away from us? So as I was like going to school and I went to public school, things changed. And I saw that, you know, people had their mom and dad come to their soccer games or their volleyball games. And I would look, where's my dad? Or where's my mom? My mom was always working to cover for the bills that my dad wasn't there for. So I constantly had this thought in my mind that if God loved us so much, why? And that never changed growing up. It always was a thought of that, the love that could have been there but wasn't. So I started to hate God. I started to have this hatred towards Him, because if you love something so much, why would you hurt it? So my brother and I, as we began our classes, he started drifting away from God, and so did I. And I thought to myself that, is there a God that exists? Because if He did, if He was truly there, He wouldn't let this happen to us. Because it brought so much pain to my mom. Because the one person that she loved was gone from her life. So, years later, as I accepted it and I moved on, I didn't care. I didn't care that there was someone watching over me or looking out for me. And I stopped praying. And I noticed that my life started to change. I noticed that I became a different person and I viewed life differently. And I started to ask myself, like, when did this start? Or what happened to me? Because I noticed when you take God out of your life, there was a different view on things. I stopped praying. I stopped going to Sabbath school. I stopped doing the things that I would normally do as a little girl just because my parents would do it. So it changed things. And I just looked at it that I looked back on how my life was, because it put through me so much pain, as I loved my dad and I loved the way my families were, but it was just different. So my life changed. It wasn't the same anymore because my father walked out, and I looked at it as our family wasn't complete anymore. I was so used to seeing on our table four plates, but there wasn't four plates anymore. There were three. So I saw my families as it was broken, that we weren't the same, that something was missing in our life. So growing up, after those years passed, I wasn't the same person as I was. I noticed that I hated God, that I had this hatred in my heart that wasn't there, that there was this new person, and I didn't like myself. I wasn't happy. I wasn't smiling. I wasn't the same person, and I knew something was missing. And all I could think of, it's because my father left. It's because my dad's not there. And like going through those games, when I remember, you know, their parents would be there cheering them on. But all I had was love that wasn't there. Pretend love that I just thought about. And that God is supposed to bring that love into our heart. That if he loves us so much that he wouldn't bring pain. So as I thought about it, I said, I'm going to hate God. And I continued hating God my entire life. But I only thought, looking back on it, is that it didn't bring me any good. All it brought me was pain. But I still lived my life like that. My brother, me, and my family, we struggled because we were a family of three and not four anymore. And I looked back and I see that I wasn't happy, and that not praying, not going to Sabbath school, not doing my devotions, it changed me. And it doesn't just change me as a person on the outside, but it changed my heart, because I didn't have the love I had for other people or my God anymore. I had the love where I would just show it, but not really mean it. And I was a different person. I was a person that only thought about myself. I didn't care about what others think. I didn't care if others were in pain, because I saw myself when I was in pain that God didn't help me, that I was alone, that I was by myself. So that's the mentality I had growing up. That I was by myself and I was always alone. Because if I didn't feel alone, if God was there, he would comfort me and be there for me and love me. But that wasn't the case. So my life changed a lot. And I noticed that God could change our life too. Just like this plant that's dying, he could restore it and make it new. So I noticed that growing up that I had the hatred for God. But as I understand that, you know, God is love. So as one day I was picking up this Bible and a verse came up and it said Psalm 51:12. And it talks about restoration. It talks about how through him we can be restored and the willingness to obey him. And the problem I had is that I didn't want to obey God. I had this hate for him, and I didn't want to love him. But I noticed in my life growing up, I was missing love. And because I saw that my father walked out on our family, I thought to myself, I don't have a dad. But little did I know that I've always had a father in heaven that I never remembered and I always forgot because I had hatred towards him. But I noticed that I wasn't the same person I was because I was missing love. And I noticed that through God, we can be restored. Through God, he can show us a new person in ourselves, that we can be a messenger for him. And I accepted that, and I realized that all the time that I was hurting, all I had to do was trust. All I had to do was obey him and follow him. And that's what it talks about in the Bible, that God is love. God doesn't want to see us in pain. God doesn't want to see us cry or see ourselves in sadness. But the fact that all he wants is to give us his love and to show others his love. And through God, we can be restored no matter what we've been through, no matter what we've gone through. That God always wants to give us a new life, to be rejuvenated through him. And that the love that God can give everybody is a love that's you cannot measure. Because through God, we can be restored and we can live a new life because he loves us so much. And our experiences teach us that. That God's always there, whether we need him here or if you're across the country, that he's always with us and loves us and wants to give us a new life.
One of my favorite stories from the Bible is about Onesimus. It takes place in the book of Philemon, which is essentially a letter from Paul to Philemon asking for Philemon to take Onesimus back to forgive him. See, it isn't really clear what Onesimus did, if he stole something, if he owed him a debt, but he had been a slave to Philemon and he had run away. And somehow, after running away, he had come across Paul. Paul had gotten to know him and Paul had shared the gospel with him. And Onesimus had come to Christ. Onesimus had been converted. And this shows you how amazing Jesus is. Because when Onesimus was converted, he decided that he wasn't going to keep running away. He was going to go back to Philemon and try to make things right. And so that's why Paul is writing this letter. Because he wants Philemon to take him back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And the Bible doesn't explicitly say this, but church history tells us that as he went back, he was forgiven, he was restored, both of them. And he actually even became a leader in the church there. Maybe even a martyr. And this story is just such a beautiful example of restoration because it happens for both people. For Onesimus, he is restored. Philemon forgives him, takes him back, doesn't force him to pay any debts that he might owe, and makes him a brother in Christ. On the other hand, Philemon himself is restored as well. Because Onesimus, even though Philemon had basically been his enemy, had been a slaveholder of him, Onesimus goes back, forgives him, and restores Philemon as a brother in Christ. And in Psalm 51 is written right after David's most terrible thing. The worst thing that David could ever do, he did. And he wrote, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." And I love how they're paired together because David knew, you know, at this point, I'm sure he had no hope of salvation. He had done such terrible things that he could barely look at God. He could barely come to God. And he knew that he needed, in order to get this joy of salvation, he needed a willingness to obey. He needed not only obedience, he didn't just need to be restored back to where he was before. He needed a change of heart, a change of will, a change of desires. He needed God to transform what he actually wanted. And this is what restoration is to God. For us, it might just mean bringing things back to the way they were, but God is not satisfied with that. He brings them back to a better place than they were before. Someone once told me that salvation is being able to do what you want to do without being condemned for it. And the story of Onesimus illustrates this so clearly. Onesimus was trying to get away as far away as possible from Philemon. He didn't want to have anything to do with him. But once he met Christ and his heart was changed, he wanted to go back and make things right. He wanted reconciliation. And I've actually recently experienced this in my own life. It was a normal afternoon. I was just trying to get my homework done. And I ended up wasting 2 or 3 hours just thinking about what I could be doing, what I should be doing, where I was going in my life. I have these dreams of success, of career opportunities, and I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to accomplish them. I was worried that I wasn't making enough progress on them. And so I spent hours wasting my time worrying about this. And I, for a moment, lost the joy of my salvation. And it wasn't until finally, after a few hours, the thought occurred to me that this doesn't actually matter. Jesus is coming back, and when Jesus comes back, none of these things are going to be significant. When we're in heaven worshiping with each other, we're not going to look back talking about the different prizes we won, the prestige we had, the money we earned. When we get to heaven, we're going to be doing nothing but worship Jesus. And so what I want to share is that you don't have to lose the joy of your salvation. You don't have to walk around being sad, because restoration isn't up to you. Restoration is a passive thing. A house, when it's restored, doesn't do anything on its own. The contractor comes in, brings the paint and brushes, the hammer and nails, and he makes it beautiful. And the same thing is with us. We don't do anything as long as we let him come onto the premises. As long as we take our dreams, our desires, and put them second to Jesus, to his will in our life. And as long as we trust him to do what he said he would do in working out his perfect will for us, then we can have that joy of salvation. There is absolutely nothing stopping you from experiencing the joy of salvation if you will simply let Jesus restore you to where he wants you to be.